There is no greater responsibility on me, on the government, than keeping you safe. We know that these are testing times for everyone here and for everyone sworn to protect democratic freedoms. The terrorist threat is rising at home and abroad, and is becoming harder to combat.
Prime Minister Tony Abbott's national security statement today announced a raft of measures aimed at tightening our security laws and improving cooperation between government agencies. On his list, strengthening immigration laws, reviewing citizenship for people who are involved in terrorism, not only for dual nationals, but also for Australian citizens, cancelling the welfare payments of individuals assessed to be a threat to security, and pushing the government's data retention bill, forcing internet service providers to keep metadata. To that end, the government plans to appoint a national counter-terrorism coordinator to deal with the so-called death cult known as either ISIS or Daesh. So is the Prime Minister correct in his statement that the terrorist threat is rising in Australia? Defence expert Greg Barton.
All of those things are correct. There are some aspects of the Prime Minister's preamble and the presentation which suggested he was focused on conveying the image of being a strong, tough leader. So lots of talk about toughness. But the actual prepared statements were well nuanced and well founded on issues that have been many months in development and analysis that's careful and considered.
The other thing that Tony Abbott has talked about today is measures like clamping down on citizenship. What do you make of those? Are they effective ways of dealing with this terrorist threat or so-called terrorist threat?
I think we need to look at this as a proposal. It could be a useful tool to have in the toolbox, but it's not going to be a tool that's going to be broadly used to solve most of the problems. This is not going to be the panacea or the single solution. Most of the Australians who are radicalised and recruited to become foreign fighters are born and grow up in Australia. Some may be dual nationals. There may be some scope for revoking citizenship if we can get the legal framework right. But it's only ever going to be something which is helpful in some cases, and then a limited range of effectiveness.
Professor Greg Barton, Research Professor from Monash University.
There should always be a strong presumption in favour of the liberty of individual citizens. Labor believes this presumption should only be reduced, rebutted or offset to the extent that current arrangements are proven to be inadequate. Any proposed changes must be shown to be effective for the nation as a whole. And any alternative solution must deliver a superior good in terms of the safety of our community.
The opposition leader Bill Shorten said the Labor Party broadly supported the government on national security measures, but was more cautious when it came to some of the measures which impinge on our civil liberties. While Tony Abbott said there's always a trade-off between the rights of an individual and the safety of the community, Dr. Leslie Lynch from the Council of Civil Liberties wonders just how far these measures will go once they're in place.
When that is translated into a statement which says the benefit of the doubt, implying that just because we can't prove something, just because we can't go to a judge and convince a judge that there is reasonable belief that a person is about to be engaged in, because we can't do that, we should throw all that out. Now, if you're going to throw it out for somebody you suspect is maybe going to be involved in an individual act of terrorism, when do we get to the point where we throw it out for other kinds of crimes? And we've seen a lot in the last 5 years, a lot of examples of this counter-terrorism legislation, which we are told is exceptional and extraordinary. And yes, it impinges on our long-standing liberties, but it's important that we put them aside for the moment while we protect ourselves in these exceptional circumstances. And then a year and 2 years later, we've already seen these roll over into other areas of normal, ongoing, permanent law.
Could you give us an example of that?
Well, we've now moved increasingly towards police being able to do many things without warrants, which before required warrants. We've moved increasingly towards access to non-suspects' properties without warrants, where before this would have been inconceivable. I mean, it's a rollover. Nobody is going to say that it's not a core responsibility of government to do all it can to protect its citizenry against serious crime and against terrorism. The argument we're having is how far you go and what are the consequences.
Dr. Leslie Lynch, Secretary of the New South Wales Council of Civil Liberties. The Greens are also concerned about attacks on individual freedom.
There is no evidence that these measures being pursued by the Prime Minister will actually make us safer, but there is evidence that they will take away human rights and freedoms that we've come to expect and respect in Australia. The Prime Minister is ignoring practical measures that could make us safer, such as some of the recommendations in the Sydney Siege Report about getting guns off our streets.
Green Senator Penny Wright speaking at a press conference earlier today, but does defence expert Greg Barton agree that we should be focusing on getting guns off the streets?
One of the things about the Sydney Siege is that Monash used a sawn-off shotgun, which was a devastating weapon, but other attackers may use military assault rifles, which in the past were almost non-existent in Australian society, apart from some organised crime groups, but are now much more accessible. So we need to pay attention to the small arms trade. It's tied up very much with organised crime and drug cartels, and it now sadly involves military assault weapons. That's important, but there's never going to be a complete solution there. We're never going to remove so many of the guns that we can be confident that would-be terrorists won't have access to a gun.
What's the greatest threat to our national security in your view?
The greatest threat that security agencies have to worry about at the moment is lone wolf terror attacks, plus in terms of our defence forces getting involved in responses to associated issues. So those are things that security agencies have to worry about, police, military, intelligence. For ordinary Australians, there are a host of other things that are more serious, including domestic violence and regular violent assaults and narcotic abuse, etc. So it's a question of balancing things up. We do want Australians to pay attention and speak up when they have concerns, but we're not suggesting that terrorism is the number one problem for ordinary Australians. But for those in police and security circles, it's one of the biggest things they have to deal with.
Defence expert Professor Greg Barton from Monash University.